and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Severe weather is bringing dangerous conditions to many parts of the country. In Alabama, a confirmed tornado has been reported moving toward the Mobile airport. CBS News meteorologist Nikki Nolan is tracking.
We have another big round of severe weather along the Gulf Coast states. Another round of tornadoes possible, along with damaging winds, hail, and flash flooding.
CBS travel editor Peter Greenberg says all of this is snarling the post-Christmas air travel.
We're already seeing delays caused in the Pacific Northwest between California and the state of Washington. We're seeing, of course, weather issues in Dallas, Houston, and Atlanta.
Homelessness has gone up 18.1%. Donald Whitehead leads the National Coalition for the Homeless.
Congress has been asking HUD for those numbers. So the point in time count started back in 2007. And this is the largest increase in history.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The dense fog advisory has been extended until 6 a.m. on Saturday morning for central, north central, and northeast Wisconsin. You can expect to see only 1/4 mile ahead or less in the dense fog. This will make driving conditions hazardous for the rest of today and especially after the sun goes down. Make sure you turn on your headlights. During daylight hours, the automatic lights are not triggered to go on even when it's this foggy. Never slam on your brakes while in dense fog and increase the distance between you and the car you're following. The time between you and other cars should be 9 to 12 seconds in dense fog. If you feel disoriented, pull over to the side of the road and put your hazard lights on. Solaris experienced an outage across their service area today. Internet, phone, and cable service went down for some customers around 10:30 this morning due to an issue with a router. There are still a few sporadic issues with phone service here and there, but those should be resolved soon. If you're still experiencing issues with any of your Solaris services, technical support can now be reached at their usual number of 888-676-8638. Bruce Mound Winter Sports Area is closed today because of the warm temperatures and forecasted rain. They plan to open on Saturday at 10 a.m., but you should expect spring-like conditions. There will be a significant loss of snow today with the warm temps and rain. Remaining snow will be slushy and wet. Please plan accordingly. Christmas tree collection in Stevens Point will begin on January 6th. You should have your tree curbside by that Monday with the trunk pointing at the street. The tree should be free of all objects, no bags, tinsel, garland, lights, or ornaments. If you put out a wreath, please no wire in the wreath. City crews will only make one pass through the city to collect trees. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Packers head to Minnesota. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers face the Vikings at 3:25 Sunday in Minneapolis. I asked quarterback Jordan Love, besides getting a higher seed in the playoffs, how much does the rivalry motivate the Packers heading into this game?
I mean, all the motivation is right there. It's a division opponent. Obviously, they beat us first game, so we're going into their place, and we want to get some of that revenge that we're looking for.
Matt LaFleur said that Jaire Alexander will likely not play again this week. NBA, the Bucks let one slip away at home last night to the Brooklyn Nets in the final 3 minutes, 111-105. Brooke Lopez, who had 20 points, was held to just 2 in the second half.
They definitely changed our flow and got us away from what we do. You know, it's not about me getting shots or anything like that, but just us being aggressive, playing side to side, you know, and hitting whoever's open, getting guys open, available, getting their guys off them.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight, a few foggy areas as well, lows in the mid-30s. For the afternoon, we'll look for a mostly cloudy sky, your Saturday high in the low 40s. Maybe a shower Sunday once again, highs right around 40.
It's 39 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, we tell ghost stories with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels. And then it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr drops by with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Right now in studio, we have our great friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher with us. Matt, always good to see you. Thanks so much for the time.
Morning, James. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, are you on, too? Okay. You threw me there for a little bit. Okay. Good to have you here. Thanks for being here, Matt. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Want to send a big shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Appreciate the team over there. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't done so already, go to your search bar and YouTube, type in there Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to the work that they are doing over there. Really nice work with the ribbon cutting ceremony. I was not able to be there, but I got to see the video. Great stuff. Felt like I was there. It was really nice work you guys do over there. So Matt, how you doing? How are things going?
I'm doing well. Good. 8 months in, just getting ready to, you know, kind of kick off the holiday season here. And I think that's great. Everybody seems to, you know, that whole hunting season going into the holidays, definitely things slow down and get calm. Finishing up the budget certainly helped with taking some of the pressure and stress off of everybody. And just knowing that we have that snapshot for next year and where we're going. And I think the council's excited. Most of the council are excited to get into the 2026 budget right away this beginning this year and start talking about some of the things that we know are going to be questions again at the end of this year. Some of the things, you know, we might talk about already is the Humane Society and just what that kind of took on and what that looked like, and some other things. But it doesn't help to wait till the very end of the year and then start talking about it again. I think if these are going to be ongoing concerns, then we need to talk about them from the beginning of the year all the way through the year and try to get the answers to the questions that everybody has and be ready to go.
It's a nice, we're going to touch on a number of those things, and it's a really strong point, I think, to bring up, especially where we're going to start our show today, because when you kick the can, you're just not only creating a problem for future generations, but whatever that problem is more than likely going to cost more and cost the community more, as we found with our jail. We kicked the can on this jail for 30 years. This thing has needed to be built, and we finally got it built. And I am very proud of this community, the board, everybody that got this done. But had we done this 20, 30 years ago, it would have been a lot cheaper. And to that point, now, we can't do anything about the past. We are going forward. Time only goes one direction. But I think it's a lesson for us, not just us, but areas like this in all areas, big, small, all that, that if we can get ahead of things, if we can catch things at the pass, might be a good idea to do it. So to your point, the Humane Society, some of these things, it's really good on us to get on these early, especially considering all those other factors.
Yeah, it's. I agree 100%. I will say what I've learned pretty quick is that if you don't have somebody taking up the issue as the leader of it, it just gets put to the side. Because I don't want to say it's government. It's just when you, again, you. It's tough. You need a leader for everything. And even as a mayor, you can only take on so many agenda items that you want to take on and keep pushing forward. But that is, I take it on as my responsibility, but also getting somebody assigned to that task and say, don't let this go. Dog with a bone, just stay on it, stay on it, stay on it. And that's my intention for this year coming up. I say, you know, I'm going to keep learning, but I learned a lot in 8 months as to the difference between, you know, a fast-paced entrepreneurial business where you make a decision and everybody jumps to and just says, let's get it done, and they make it happen. Whereas with government, it's very entrenched, and there's a lot of people that have been there a long time, and There's a lot of what they call institutional knowledge, which means this is just how we've always done it. Mm-hmm. Not easy to break those cycles. But at the same time, my intention is to stay on top of it and just keep going and going and be as pleasantly persistent as I can and get things to happen. And it does work when everybody knows you're not going to quit, they're going to get it done. So
I love the phrase and go by it myself of pleasantly persistent. It's something I do quite a bit too. With so much of this too is there's a lot out there. There's a lot of causes. There's a lot of different things that need our attention, and they affect different people differently. So maybe they mean more to certain people than others. That's why we are so encouraging when you get a passion for something to take the ball and run with it. Mm-hmm. It's important, and when you do that, great things can happen. Like this new jail being built, and now it's up and it's running. The ribbon cutting was yesterday. How did that go?
Yeah, it was a great event. It was, I've stayed in touch with Sheriff Becker with everything that's been going on. It's just been great, and I think he's really amongst some people on the board there that really took it on and worked as a team. But really, the leadership to keep it going every day and making sure, I'm sure it wasn't easy. That's a lot of work that goes into a lot of moving parts. So I appreciate everybody that's, put the time, blood, sweat, and tears into making that coming to fruition. So that's pretty neat. And the building itself is amazing. And the joining building that they built in between, the old building and the new, is going to do great things for that group of people, but everybody in the community that's meeting there. And it's part of our government. It's our building in the end. So it's great. And I thank them very much for the work they did.
I wonder what price you would, somebody, and I'm asking this rhetorically, not to you or friends in the studio here or anything. I ask rhetorically, what price you would put on knowing that our officers are safer? What price would you put on knowing that the people that are putting their lives on the line are a lot safer because of this building? Mm-hmm. That your community members, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones that end up having to maybe serve a little time in there or something like that, that they are that much safer because of that, because that is a basic human right. Mm-hmm. What price would you put on that? I bring this up because I've heard a overwhelming amount of positivity, whether it is about this or the Christmas lights or the Humane Society. I've seen nothing in my position, and I run into a lot of people in this job. Right. I'm seeing an overwhelming majority of people very proud of these things and very happy with these things and very happy with the direction of the community.
Yeah.
But you probably hear just as much as I do that barking voice in the background. Mm-hmm. And I encourage that voice. I always encourage voices. Oh, ask questions. Ask questions of your government. That's what the government is there for, to answer questions and to do their job, of course. So I don't begrudge that or anything. But what I do have an issue with is a dog just barking. I love dogs. I'm a big dog guy. But I don't. If a dog is sitting there and it's barking its head off, I don't get mad at it because it's a dog. That's what they do. They bark. If somebody's out there and they're barking and that's what they're doing and they just have an issue with something, that's fine. But what are you saying? Are you just barking or actually saying something? Because when it comes to any of these issues, I think that not speaking for you, but knowing, talking to you on air, off air, you are more than open. Your phone is open. You want to hear from people. You want to hear from your constituents. But have something to say and do your homework before making that call. Mm-hmm. Because when I run into this and I run into somebody about the city lights and, it's costing me this. No, it's not.
No,
it's not. And it doesn't take a lot of digging. I was able to pull up on my phone for this person and show them. No, it's not.
Right.
We get a bunch of dogs together and they start barking and they're not saying anything. It's just a bunch of barking. Yeah. Like, have something to say. Have an actual point behind this.
Yeah.
And that's not me, again, telling you to shut up. I want you to talk. I want you to ask questions. Just do a little homework beforehand and see if it's even worth making that call. Because I genuinely think, whether any of these three subjects I just talked about, I don't think it takes a lot of digging to realize, that's why we're spending this. Mm-hmm. That's why we're doing this. Or I will show you I'll pull up a dictionary and I'll show you the definition of business and how this works. No business has ever survived without spending money. No community has ever made it and thrived without spending money. That's how this works.
Right.
If you want to bring people into the community, you want to keep people in the community, you want to bring businesses into the community, you got to have a community. Right. You got to have something to do. You can't just have a bunch of buildings standing there and some roads that are barely put together or anything like that. Right. I don't feel like this is rocket science. I don't feel like I know something that other people don't hear. Just do a little bit of digging, and I think you start to get the answers that you're looking for here.
Yeah, I think it really helps to be a part of the conversation instead of just, I can empathize because the whole reason I threw my hat in the ring for alderman was because I was starting to be one of the people that were getting angry and complaining or taking one side. It was during COVID when everybody was taking sides, even though we're, the source of our information on both sides, it was pretty skewed. So anyways, I jumped in, and again, I'm just a guy I try not to pay too much attention to the social media people out there, but at sometimes people bring it to me just in case I want to know. And I hear this one reoccurring theme about, go back to the big city or, I'm like, well, okay. So I grew up in New Berlin, which is just a small city like
this.
The
gigantic city of New Berlin.
And
then
everywhere I went for jobs was always in smaller cities. I did go to school in Milwaukee, like most kids do, after the military, I went there. And, I spent some time learning about the city. I'm not afraid of the city. Like, it's just another thing. But when I come here, this is my home. So I want everybody to understand 20 years in, I know the people. I know the ins and outs of who's who and what's what and how to make things go. And now I'm learning how to help run the city, do the best job that I can do, and find the people that really care. If you want to say something, it would be better to bring it to us so that we can hear it versus just talking in this bubble on social media where the negativity just builds and builds instead of saying, wait a second, these are just people. Just like we are people, they are people. Like, we're all in this together. Come and talk to us and find out what's really going on. I'm more than happy to talk to anybody. I can't do it on social media because as soon as you open anything up, it just blows up into, I can... There's some names I can call it, but
right.
I won't. But it does get a little crazy, and it's like the Wild Wild West, and it doesn't do anything good. But at the same time, as the city, what I'm striving for, and in 2025, we're going to be bringing out a new website that's going to be way more interactive on our phones, so that's not just on a computer. And that way I want to be able to get information out to the people so that I can get feedback from them immediately as to what the majority of people would like to see. And my goal is to get at least 4,000 followers on that website, because that's everybody in this community, the outlying communities and Wisconsin Rapids. Because more and more, as I talk to people, I see that we are just one big community trying to work together, even though people get frustrated about, I'm from here, they're from there, who pays taxes for the road and all that stuff. In the end, we're still just humans. We're all abiding by the rules that the state sets for us. That's another thing I'm learning, is just how beholden to the state rules that we are. And that really, we could go into the whole taxes and assessments and how this all played out. And just so everybody knows, I got hit with 33% increase, over $1,500. So I'm right in the same ballpark as everybody else. I'm a resident just like everybody else is. So we're all in it together and nobody's happy about it. But at the same time, it was due to come as the prices of housing go up. Wisconsin Rapids is doing the same thing. And all they did was bring the assessed prices in line with the market, what the market prices are. And this is where we stand now. But it's never fun when you go through the changes. So I understand the anger and frustration. I'm feeling some of it myself. So.
It started with Sheriff Becker, but it really has continued with all of our representatives and politicians that have joined us, from Congressman Kind back in the day to Representative Krug to yourself or the previous mayors. One of the jobs that I believe I have in this role is to remind people that you are human beings. Mm-hmm. It's one of the easier jobs I have at times, and then it's one of the harder jobs I have. Because it's very important that we remember when we're barking and we're talking about these things, and we're talking to another human being, we're talking to a fellow citizen, we're talking to somebody that is no different than anybody else outside of maybe a title, or that they decided to throw their hat in the ring and be a part of things. Yep. And one other quick note about cities and people from cities and all of that. And you can say that I'm biased, don't mean I'm wrong. What do you think, what would you give to not be... And I love these states. I'm not saying anything wrong against them. But look at Montana. Look at the Dakotas. What do they have that we don't? Or what do we have that they don't? We got two major cities at the very least we can point to, Madison and Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. The economy in this state compared to those states is gigantic. Do you like nice roads? Do you like some of the things you've got in your small cities and everything? Right. Because you've got those because of big cities and the money that they bring in. Big cities help states survive. The knowledge that you can learn from a big city to bring to a small city, why would you not? Mm-hmm. Why, that's how we survive. That's smart. That's just smart business, let alone just intelligent to do. Big city ideas or anything like that, I get some of that. I get the idea of not having a new ice town or something. Maybe some of that stuff makes a little sense. I'm with you on. But the idea of that, that makes it so that you're skewed or something. Yeah. I say the exact opposite. I want that. I want somebody who thinks differently. Yeah. We need that. That's how time works. That's how cities survive and how they grow bigger.
Right. I would want somebody, that, again, I said it before, and not saying other people are, but to not be afraid. Like, when you grow up in a small town and you never really leave a small town and you hear about Madison and Milwaukee and big cities, I think it's important to have leadership that can live and exist in both and function well in both and understand the people from a small town, but also be able to communicate well with people from the big cities, because again, we need both of them. Like we don't, the world doesn't exist without both. And I think the more we can talk and the more we have people that can traverse between the two communities is only better for all of us in the end, because we don't live in a bubble. Our economy doesn't live in a bubble. And again, like I said, I'm learning more and more just how much the state and what they do affects us, even more so than the federal government, I think, in a lot of ways. And it's a good and a bad thing. I think they're all at the state level doing everything they can to run the state government. Chances are they can live in a bubble too sometimes and not understand the big picture of what's going on here. And it's very important for me to make sure that I don't exist in that bubble at City Hall and lose track of everything else. It's important to stay with the people and just be a part of the conversation.
And I think one of the overall points here is that whether it is, people coming to you with real questions and solutions or anything, or just people barking, everybody, like you said, I think made a good point that we're all coming at this from the same, wanting the same end result. Yeah. We all want a better city, a healthy city, a safe city, all of these things. And keeping that in mind, we're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. You brought up another good point, sir, about getting involved. And I wanted to bring that up because we are calling on all locals. We are looking for people to serve on our Parks and Recs Commission, our Zoning Board of Appeals, Board of Review. Got a couple of openings here in those boards. We want to encourage people to be a part of things. You know, get off the sidelines, get in the game.
Yeah, I've had a few birds out there talking about, at first when you get in, everything's happening so fast. So a lot of times I ask people that were on the board if they wanted to continue to be on the board. And most times they did. If they didn't, then I was calling. So I had to call people. So people get on you and say, they start to point to this conspiracy because you end up, people are coming on boards that are connected to you somehow. Like my mother-in-law, Pat Kozicki, got on the Historic Preservation Committee. Well, she lives in a historic house that her and her husband, Joe Kozicki, fixed up to be beautiful. So they know something about the historic, preserving a historic house. So I called her and she was excited to be on it. But then you have these, these connections where my circles are only so big, so I can only call the people that I know. So we put out this on the media and through you guys, through the newspaper and stuff like that. So try to get it out there, but I need people to respond back. And I have gotten some people and I appreciate that. I just want more people to understand what's going on in the government. There's no secrets. There's no conspiracies. There's just people making decisions and carrying those decisions forward to make the city as best as it can be. And if you want to be a part of that conversation and help the process, this is how you do it. You get involved, you learn more, you meet people, and you become a part of the conversation and stay as positive as you can. If you vote on something and your vote, you don't get the vote to go your way, you suck it up and you just, you move on to the next thing. Because all in all, we're not going to fall apart no matter what the vote is. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to figure out the money. And if the time comes when we're saying we don't have the money, then we can't do it because we don't have the money. So, but other than that, we make a decision and we move forward together as a community.
And it's how real change happens. It's how things get done, is everyday citizens getting involved on these boards and doing work, the good work in their community. It is not only that, but it's a great way to get involved in the game. And if you're sitting there on the sidelines and you have issues or you have questions or anything, this is the best solution. This is the best way of doing it.
And you meet people. You realize like we're not all isolated in our houses and our own little worlds. Like we actually do function as a community, whether we choose to participate or not.
We did want to just quick touch on a couple of things. I mentioned the bridge. That looks great. That had to have been a lot of fun turning that thing on, man.
I got to tell you, a lot of work went into it because of the programming side of things. Econ Electric did a great job getting everything set up. But the programming came right down to the end during the Rekindle the Spirit. Everybody agreed we would do kind of a grand opening there, and it worked out really nice. But the programming was giving us issues all the way up until like 2 hours before the bridge. So this is insider information, so I guess it's a secret, but I like telling secrets. So
it's just us.
Yeah. It's just me and you, right? So anyways, I talked to two guys from Econ and put them on my phone on a three-way call on speaker so they could hear what talking that I was doing. We agreed that a 10 count would get us, because they needed 9 seconds to manually flip the switches on.
Oh, okay.
for the lights to actually come on.
Okay, yeah.
But yet still in my head, I'm like, are they going to come on, you know?
Yeah.
And so we got a count of 10. We counted down from 10, and sure enough, we got down to 0, and I was looking back, and poof, lights went on, and everybody cheered. And Thanks, guys. So that was great. And then we're still working out the kinks with the programming, because there's going to be great things to come with shows. We're going to do, I don't want to get too far into it right now. I got to make it happen first, but there will be light shows. It's going to be on from dusk until dawn every night. It doesn't cost very much because of the lighting that's in there is so inexpensive, so that's good. And we look forward to being able to do the shows and eventually hook them up to some kind of music so people can come downtown and hook up into the music system somehow, whether it's through their phone or through their car, and be able to watch the light show a couple times a night. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be really good. And again, I understand people's reservations with it. I don't like spending that kind of money either, but at the same time, the money was in the TIF. The TIF was in that was part of the district, and that was all set up for it, and it wasn't taxpayer money. It was specific taxpaying money coming from that area downtown, which is helping the downtown, and that's why it's set up that way.
And this was a project that came around even before you took office, really. You're kind of just getting the ball over the goal line with this.
Yeah. And that's when Shane and the guys in the government, the department heads, really kind of sat down and talked together to make it happen, because there's some leadership groups through the Heart of Wisconsin that were taking it on and trying to continue it. And they had saved up some money, but once they realized the magnitude of what they're actually talking about, it had to become more of a private government connection to make it happen. So
we got to wrap up, but before we do, just real quick, I noticed that there isn't they're working on the mill, but not a real big update over there with that. But I did notice that it's been 8 months that you've been doing this. The time just really flew by.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How has it gone for you? How you feel it's going?
Yeah, everything's really good. And just to update the mill, they got all the permits that they need through the DNR and EPA, and that's what they're waiting for the asbestos, because there's a lot of it in there.
Yeah.
That all has to come out before they can take some of the non-ferrous metals out. That's where some of the money is, but they have to take the buildings down in order to get the steel, which is just so much steel in there, and that's where the most of the money is. Mm-hmm. So once they do that, they come through and grind up that cement and turn it into road base, and we're going to see 250 acres of cleared land. Again, happy, sad. My hat goes off to all the people that have built the craft mill and the mill over the years, working there, not just the owners, but the workers that were there every day, blood, sweat, and tears. So I appreciate that. And we don't want to lose that knowledge base if at all possible, because life keeps going. So,
you can make a good argument that this city isn't what it is without that mill, without the workers and the people that put into this community for decades. Mm-hmm. So a big thank you to them and appreciation for that.
Yep. But at the same time, the bus keeps going. Like there's this area was here before that mill, and there's going to be us here afterwards, and we're going to have to develop it ourselves because nobody's coming to save us. So we do it for ourselves.
And I like where we stand. Yep. I feel good about things. I feel good about going into 2025 with it. I'm glad to hear that you guys are too.
Yeah, we got great people, and it's a great community, and we just got to work together and find the beauty in each other and ourselves and in the city, and look forward to seeing what we can do in 2025. It's going to be fun.
Well said. Have a great holidays, a great New Year's to you and yours. Thank you so much for joining us,
man. You too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thanks.
And a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year to all of our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys so darn much. We will take a quick time out. We will be back with more show here on Midday Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy Holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy Holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin recently adopted a constitutional amendment requiring voters in state and local elections to be U.S. citizens, but there isn't currently a system in place to verify proof of citizenship. This fact check was reported by Tricia Young from Wisconsin Watch.
In Wisconsin, voters must attest to U.S. citizenship when registering, but officials don't systematically verify it. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss raised the issue in November after voters amended the state constitution to limit voting to citizens only. No Wisconsin communities allow non-citizens to vote. There's no evidence that significant numbers of non-citizens vote illegally. Falsely claiming citizenship when registering to vote is a felony. A University of Maryland survey found over 9% of voting-age U.S. citizens lack easy access to proof of citizenship. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The holiday season is a wonderful time for beautiful decorations. However, you want to be sure those cheerful delights don't cause a fire. Lisa Hale has more.
The use of candles for ambiance and decoration, holiday lighting, lots of plugs, fireplaces, dry trees, cooking, all carry a risk of residential fires. Appleton Fire Department Public Information Officer Alex Quintana.
So the holiday season brings increased fire risk for many reasons. We have decorative lighting. With that comes potentially overloading outlets, maybe some holiday decorations that you've had for quite a few years or maybe even quite a few generations. So, you know, upkeep on those, looking out for frayed wiring.
Quintana says cooking and kitchen accidents are the number one reason for residential fires.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In typecasting news, actor Jared Leto will play the role of Skeletor in the new live-action film Masters of the Universe. Leto is embracing the villain role as the skeleton who is a skull-faced archenemy of He-Man. The Oscar-winning actor and star of Dallas Buyers Club has agreed to join the project alongside director Travis Knight. Cast members already in place include Alison Brie and Idris Elba. Leto embraces playing outlandish characters. MGM Amazon is the studio behind the film, which opens June 5th, 2026. There are those who don't think COVID was real. 1923 actress Danielle Vasanova is not one of them. Vasanova starred in 1923, the Yellowstone prequel, and she was one of the first people to suffer from COVID-19 long before it became widespread. The actress said she was diagnosed with strep throat, but shortly after, her organs shut down, and she died for 3 minutes. Vasanova will star opposite Michelle Pfeiffer in a new Yellowstone spinoff called Madison. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight, a few foggy areas as well, lows in the mid-30s. For the afternoon, we'll look for a mostly cloudy sky, your Saturday high in the low 40s. Maybe a shower Sunday once again, highs right around 40. It's 39 right now.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 AM and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed? Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we tell ghost stories with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels. And then it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr drops by with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, December 27th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maitloff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio our good friend, Kayla Brumbalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Kayla, it is always good to see you. How are you doing?
It's so good to see you. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well here. Thank you very much for asking. And just a big shout-out to you, to the gang over at Extension. We appreciate the relationship we have had with you guys for so many years. It is one of our audiences and one of ours, and just between us, one of my favorite segments every week is talking with you guys. We are thinking of you guys and appreciate our friends over at Extension. It's nice to have you in today. And awesome. Last time of the year, too.
Yeah.
Which is, your topic today is very fitting for that as we're getting people ready for next year and asking them to save the dates for some big events coming up in our area.
Yeah, so some good things coming up on the calendar as you're looking at that, you know, flipping the page from December to a brand new year in a couple of days here. We wanted to send out a reminder to put these dates on your calendar now so you don't miss them. So the first ones that I have are the clean sweep dates for 2025. Yeah. This is one of those where we always get phone calls the day, like the Monday following the Saturday, where folks will say, oh, when is clean sweep? And we're like, It was 2 days ago. You just missed it. So as much as we can spread the word, the better. So we're looking at two dates for that this year again. And those are Saturday, May 31st, and Saturday, September 14th. So two opportunities as you're cleaning things out, you know, as we're in the kind of getting into the doldrums of winter now, now that the holidays are over. So maybe you're spending some time on these warmer days cleaning out garages and, you know, supply cupboards and that kind of thing. If you find anything that's a hazardous chemical, please don't throw it in the garbage. You can always take it to either Marathon County or Portage County Solid Waste outside of Clean Sweep. They likely will charge you a fee depending on what it is for an out-of-county resident. But if you are a Wood County resident and you're able to hang on to it just a few weeks longer, encourage you to come on out to Clean Sweep on Saturday, May 31st. That will be in Marshfield at the Agricultural Research Station off of Yellowstone Drive. And then on September 14th, and that tentatively will be at Town of Saratoga off of 73.
And Kayla, with these, first, we'll talk about the dates themselves in a moment, but just for the audience that may not know clean sweep, for every person out there that's like my dad that literally has a clean sweep pile.
Right.
This time he's done it, did it last year, he'll do it again this year, I guarantee you. He goes in the basement, like, oh, we got too much stuff. And you know, he's trying to, and then there's the things that you can't just throw away. There are things that have to be, disposed of in a proper way, like a clean sweep or some of the other places you mentioned before. And he puts it away. And I don't want to say it's something he looks forward to, but it's almost something he looks forward to.
It is. It's kind of a feel good thing. You know that you're helping the environment. You're, not putting that stuff in landfills or polluting our river, our beautiful Wisconsin River that runs right through our community, not polluting our waterways, that kind of thing. So Clean Sweep is a county-funded program. We get support from DATCAP, which is the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, to offer this event twice a year. So in the past, we only did it once a year. 2024 is the first time we did it twice a year, and we had some success with that. So we're looking to continue that. And so it's an opportunity to bring in anything you're questioning, pesticides, even things like nail polish remover or household chemicals. Those really shouldn't end up in the trash or in your toilet bowl. They really, really should be disposed of in a safe way. And Clean Sweep can allow you to do that.
Not only a great feel-good thing to do for our planet, for our environment, it's also the law. Right. It also should, it's also important that you understand that part of this too. Where even if you, I guess, don't care about the planet, you probably care about being fined. You probably care about those things. And in this day and age, they will find you. They will catch you. Just watch one CSI episode and you'll realize what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Like, you can't jaywalk anymore. Like, there's cameras everywhere. There's people up to date on these things. And just as importantly, there are fellow community members and citizen members that believe in this and are working towards a good cause here that we're all trying to build towards. So I don't know that you're doing yourself any favors trying to get rid of this any other way. Right. When it comes to these two dates, are there going to be, and we'll get more into the details of what can be, recycled at these events when we get closer to them.
Yeah.
But for now, as people are marking them on their calendars and everything, are there specific things at each date that you'll be able to get rid of at this one, but not at this one?
Both dates are the same. Okay. What I always tell people is, when in doubt, just bring it out and we'll tell you if we can take it or not. There are a couple of things that we don't accept, but by and large, for the most part, we're going to take anything that you've got laying around, or at least tell you where you can dispose of it. One thing that is a common misconception, this is for household hazardous wastes. So typically we're talking liquid or pelletized types of materials. We are not talking electronics. There are separate disposal programs and recycling programs for electronics. I know that's a huge need in the community as well, but this is not the program for that. So this is, you've got a can of paint that you only used half of and now you need to dispose of the rest of it. Or, as I said, nail polish remover or a toilet bowl cleaner that you didn't, maybe you didn't like. You picked a new brand, didn't like it, and you want to get rid of it. Don't throw it in the garbage. Bring it out to Clean Sweep, and we'll dispose of it in a safe and healthy way.
And with so much technology, of course, is so much tech garbage, and whether it is laptops or it is, the tablets, phones, any of these things, they are now more than ever, we need these clean sweep events to be able to recycle these kind of things, because a lot of our disposal sites just aren't up to date on these things. And it's not their fault. It's not, they just weren't built for that kind of thing. These are not things that we can put in a landfill. These are things that we need to recycle the right way. And it's, again, the best thing for not only the environment, for your checkbook. Right. It really is. Not that anybody has a checkbook anymore. Your
income. Your bank account.
Bank account. Yes. Again, Clean Sweep 2025 will be Saturday, May 31st and September 14th. Kayla, a big one that's coming up as well next year that is a very exciting one, not just in our community, but around the whole state, is the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference. This is a really unique one, a really unique event that you guys are part of.
Yes, we are so excited about this. So this is a conference that has been held in a number of other Midwestern states on an annual basis. Last year was the first year it was hosted in Wisconsin. So we were kind of the last ones to adopt this, but we're excited to offer this. It was held in Platteville. Oakville in 2024 and will be in Wisconsin Rapids in 2025. This will be an awesome opportunity for us to showcase all that makes Wisconsin Rapids a wonderful place to live, to start a business, to continue a business. And so we're super excited to host the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference.
And, you know, I maintained for many years, I think that you could make the argument our signature event here is the Cranberry Blossom Festival.
Yes.
And to have this attached to that is very unique and very smart, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to think so. So the conference itself is Thursday and Friday, January 19th and 20th. It will open on Wednesday evening with a pre-conference reception. But our hope is that I should back up and say this conference is a little bit unique in the sense that it's not just hosted at a convention center. So we'll be using the Hotel Mead for room accommodations, but not for conference accommodations. We actually want people to get out into the community and to experience all that downtown Wisconsin Rapids has to offer. So we're going with a bridging theme for the conference, bridging opportunities, bridging entrepreneurial success. We're also featuring both sides of the river in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. So day one, we'll have some sessions at the new county boardroom in the Portage County Jail, or in the Wood County Jail, not Portage County. I don't know where that came from. In the Wood County Jail. It will also have sessions at the library and at a couple of different sites. And then on day two, we'll go over and have some sessions at Centralia Center, feature potentially the YMCA, City Hall, and just give people the chance to really immerse themselves in the Wisconsin Rapids community. And then in addition with Cranberry Blossom Festival, you know, there's some great entertainment and activities that are happening on those days already. So that will give some of our out-of-town guests the opportunity to experience some of those events. And then potentially if they wanted to invite their family to come and join them or come back next year for the event outside of the conference, that's our hope. So we're hoping it'll bring in not only, you know, some awareness to local residents of just the beauty and the excitement surrounding Cranberry Blossom Festival, but also bring in some repeat visitors.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great way to bring attention to this, too, with it being attached to the Cranberry Blossom Festival. That is fantastic. It's a great opportunity for businesses, whether you are up and running, you've been around for a year or two, or you want to get up and running for all of that. But I think that we're also, first, I mean, it's really cool we're hosting this here in Rapids. That's fantastic. Yeah. I don't want to skate past that or anything. That is really cool. Again, another economic opportunity for our area. But there's these gray areas that we have in life from time to time where we, you know, you go to school for business, you learn all this and everything, you get out into the real world and, oh my God, I don't know how to do this or this. Mm-hmm. It is the equivalent of, you know, kids back in the day graduating and not knowing how to fill out a checkbook or something like that. There's just these things that slip through the cracks sometimes. For an entrepreneur to be able to not only lean on other entrepreneurs or people that know this inside and out, ask questions, find out things, it gives you maybe a step up or a step ahead. It gives you an opportunity to really make this work. There are so many stats out there that could tell you about this style of business has a 1 in 5 chance of working, or this one, you know, restaurant industry and looking at that. Anything we could do to help out our local entrepreneurs and help them get a leg up, help them get a chance to really achieve and really succeed.
Absolutely.
That only benefits all of us. Even if that's a business you never walk into, that business is putting into our economy.
Right.
And while, and this has come up a bit late recently, but while our area here in Wisconsin Rapids, certainly there's people that will tell you we could use this, we could use that, and we could use more of this and more of that. If you have some perspective and compare central Wisconsin to some other states, to even some areas of the state itself, Wisconsin, we're doing really good. We're doing well here. And I think one, appreciating that is also is just as important as how we build on that and not taking our foot off the gas.
Right.
And this is a big part of that. Supporting entrepreneurs, giving them the knowledge, the opportunities to spread their business out there, to maybe even get new partners to go along with their business. Maybe they've got something that's up and it's so close to being there, they just need one more person to maybe back them or something like that. But how do they run into that person? What opportunities in life do they have to really have that? This is it. This is one of those opportunities.
Exactly.
We really can't even put in the words what this can can mean in the future going forward. And I mean relative close future to our economy, to our community, as well as just bringing in fun new businesses and everything that our creative community has. We've got so many great brain ideas out there. It'll be really fun to see what grows from this conference as well over the years, because this isn't going anywhere. This is going to be around for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're just thrilled that we were selected out of a number of other communities across the state to host the conference.
So. We see this, and actually we talk about this a lot in sports and with high school athletics and everything, but we have such a unique opportunity being basically 2 hours away from everything.
True.
Yeah. It's smart for them to host it here as much as it is for us to, you know, enjoy to be able to have it.
Right.
Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference, going to be Thursday and Friday, June 19th and 20th, in coordination with the Cranberry Blossom Festival. We'll be keeping you up to date and letting you know all the logistics of that as we get closer to it. But I am just so excited about that. That is going to be Cranberry Blossom Festival is already one of the most fun, unique opportunities we have in this area. That being along with it, it makes it even stronger. That's great.
Absolutely.
We are speaking with our friend Kayla from the UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. And Kayla, one other thing we wanted to make sure to remind everybody about is maybe my favorite thing you guys do, Science by the River. That's tough for me to say, by the way. You guys do a lot of really cool things. But October 4th is going to be Science by the River. The last couple... it just seems like you guys are really fine-tuning this and getting it right how you want it.
We are, yeah. It's been a lot of fun. So this is something that I get to do with my colleagues, which is really interesting because our extension team, we all have such varied responsibilities and expertise that rarely do we actually kind of cross over and get to work with each other, if that makes sense. So my background is not in conservation or science or natural resources, but for this event, I get to work with many of my colleagues and partners who have those expertises. And it's just a really fun way to engage the community and to celebrate all that is great about scientific discovery and the science that we have right here in our community. So super exciting event. We are fine-tuning it year to year. This year, I was telling Anna, who is one of my colleagues and co, you know, planners of the event, that my family and I brought bikes and biked part of the trail. And we spent so long at each station that we didn't actually have time to make it through the whole trail before it ended. So next year, we're talking about potentially tweaking the length of the trail, recognizing that 2 miles, 4 miles round trip, if you start and end at Ben Hansen Park, is a bit maybe too much, certainly gives you a chance to experience the beautiful river walk and have some fun along the trail, but maybe making those closer together. So we're just super excited about the opportunities that will continue to come as this event grows and gets more popularity and more people to know about it.
I would say the first 6 months I was doing this job, it took me a while to wrap my brain around, but the what AUW Extension is and the organization that did this is and the nonprofit that it is and the relate and then you know understanding the relationship that we've had with WFHR here and everything and having you guys on air once a week we have a UW member on and I'm sitting back after a couple of months of doing this and I'm like I'm still meeting new people like there are so many amazing minds over there that have so much knowledge and know so much about key particular subjects.
Right.
I love the idea of an event that brings some of that together, that meshes some of that together.
Yeah.
For one, I think that, and I don't think I'm alone in this, I think it really does highlight UW Extension and what this is and why it is such an important thing in our communities. The idea to be able to use some of those brains of you guys over there and put them to work and get that knowledge out there for other people is so cool and such a great thing. And the idea of doing and making science fun. It is fun. I think science is awesome. I think it's a lot of fun. And reminding adults of that, getting kids to spark into that and just who knows where they go with those ideas and those minds. Just I remember the first year of doing this, and it was just a little while after that I had some kids in from something from I think one of the high schools around here.
Sure.
And just out of the blue, they mentioned how they had enjoyed the event. And they wanted to learn more about science, like immediately, like that Monday when they went into class. And they were in grade school at the time. So who knows where that mind goes? And that's just one example. Science by the River is able to do a lot. I understand the idea of wanting to condense it and make it, you know, something that you can do in a certain amount of time and everything. Right. That's, you know, understandable. I also love the way that you're already doing it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That people aren't able to take in maybe every station. That's okay, maybe. There's so much. I as you said that, I would not, you know, you guys know what you're doing over there. I'm not at all trying to tell you what to do by any means. But I love all the uniqueness in every single, I couldn't imagine taking one of those things out. Like they're all really fun and really interesting ways. And they also really give us a chance to, I think, appreciate Extension and all the good work that you guys are doing and all the great brains we have over there.
Absolutely. And we didn't think that we would take any away. We would just shorten the distance between them.
Yeah. As so I was saying, and I'm we'll like, see. Wait a minute, maybe she means, but No. I misunderstood.
I'm glad that we have this conversation. See, this is helpful to us as we're planning. This mm-hmm. is what we need to know.
And it also, like, just you sharing that with us and letting us behind the curtain a little bit, it speaks to how in tune Extension is with our community and how much you guys care about it. I look at this often when I have businesses and nonprofits come in. There's a big difference of, and we're spoiled in this area. I would say 99%, if not 100% of the people I have come in talk to are get this. But there are businesses and there are organizations that this is what we're doing here, take it. And then there are the ones that are like, what do you guys like? Right. What are you guys interested in? What are the community needs? What are in Extension does that. Extension is listening and paying attention to its community. So just the fact that you have this event, and I think all of us would be fine if you just kept rolling out the same thing every year.
Yeah.
The fact that you're paying attention to that much and like, well, maybe we may make it a little bit the distance shorter. So, you know, it's easier on families walking around, or maybe some of our senior members can take it in more or something,
right.
Whatever the case might be. That's smart. That's just smart business, but it's also really caring business.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Have you been learning as you've been going along with this too, since you said like this isn't your wheelhouse and everything?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
That's good.
So I have a 5-year-old. We'll be 6 in January. And one of the things that we learned this year, we did the inspector cabbage station, which is actually with my colleague Janelle, who is a horticulture specialist. And you're testing out the acidity and base levels of cabbage juice, and it was just really fun to, you know, match it up with the color sheet and say, like, which color do you think this is going to turn based on what's in the water. And yeah, there's a great photo of myself and my family all kind of open mouth, like, whoa, what? We didn't expect that to happen. The other really cool story that I'll share just quickly is that we this year had the ham radio group out of Marshfield, I think. Forgive me, I don't know exactly where they're from. But they were able to connect with the International Space Station.
Yeah, it's wild.
Just like randomly as they were passing over.
It's crazy.
And a kid in Wisconsin Rapids, an elementary school kid from Wisconsin Rapids, got to talk to the astronauts on the International Space Station. You want to talk about making a difference in a kid's life? Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
For that kid to be able to go back to school and say, this is what happened, and then potentially to, you know, you talk about that spark. Like, what is it that will get a child to pursue a passion? Maybe for that kid, they're going to grow up to be an astronaut, and they're going to say that their interest in aeronautics started at Science by the River.
Because you just don't know if those that even happens without these events, without these opportunities and everything.
Yeah.
It's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Kayla, if people are here at these events, or they have thoughts or ideas, or just want to have follow-up questions about things, how can they reach you? How can they find out more?
So Extension Wood County, you can find us by Googling, and you'll come to our website. We have got a Facebook page. We've got some newsletters that you can sign up for. Lots of different ways to engage, and we encourage you to do so.
Encourage you to find that out, find out more, everybody, and reach out to the UW team. They're always looking forward to talking with you. Kayla, we'll talk to you next year. Happy holidays and a happy New Year's to you and yours. Thank you so much for joining us, and please spread that to all the Extension family for us.
Wonderful. Will do. Thank you, James.
Thank you. And we will be out for the week, but we'll be back next week with more Midday Magazine. A big thank you to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out right here at WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we tell ghost stories with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels. And then it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr drops by with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Renowned CBS sports anchor and commentator Greg Gumbel has died. Greg Gumbel hosted the show NFL Today along with several other sports programs.
Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year to you. I'm Greg Gumbel.
After about 5 years ago, Gumbel spoke about the significance of covering March Madness.
It is, as I've always called it, one of the major stops on the sports calendar, no matter where you are. And it's one of those events that's so all-encompassing. There are people in the remote areas of the country that are watching because they've got a school nearby that's of interest. And that's what makes it fun.
Gumbel's family released a statement saying he died after a courageous battle with cancer and that he approached his illness like one would expect he would, with stoicism, grace, and positivity. Greg Gumbel was 78. CBS News Special Report. I'm Linda Kenyon.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.